This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. President Trump is back in Washington, having left the G7 summit in Canada early due to the Israel-Iran fighting. Aboard Air Force One, the president said he wasn't aiming for a ceasefire, but for a permanent end, or for Iran giving up. He urged people to evacuate Tehran. Also on the plane, Mr. Trump was asked if he plans to call Minnesota Governor Tim Walz about the deadly shootings of state lawmakers.
I'm not calling. Why would I call him? I could call him and say, hi, how you doing? The guy doesn't have a clue. He's a mess. So, you know, I could be nice and call him, but why waste time?
One of the worst Russian air attacks in Ukraine's capital of the war happened overnight. Drones and missiles killing at least 14, say Ukrainian officials. One of the two doctors accused in the overdose death of Friends TV star Matthew Perry is expected to plead guilty with a maximum sentence of 40 years in prison. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
Republicans have approved an increase in funding for Wisconsin schools at a fraction of what the governor asked for. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Republicans' plan increases school funding by about $330 million, but school districts will see no increase in general aid. Instead, that money goes to specific programs meant for special education and mental health. State Senator Mark Bourne, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee.
The governor's budget is always reckless spending that the state can't afford. And so we're choosing to make key investments and priorities. And these investments today will be some of the largest, they'll be the largest investments you'll see in the budget. I don't think we'll get to another agency where we'll put that level of funding in because it is a priority. But you have to be able to afford it.
Statewide, about 15% of students have individualized education plans, meaning they have some sort of special needs. Right now, for every dollar spent on special education, the state only pays about 31 cents. That's one of the lowest reimbursement rates in the nation. The governor's plan would have raised it to 60 cents. Republicans' proposal they approve increases special ed reimbursement from about 31 cents on the dollar to 37.5 cents. But according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, it would increase reimbursement to 90% next year for kids with the highest level of needs. That's 3% of students in Wisconsin public schools. Republicans hope adding money for these programs will take some pressure off the rest of school districts' budgets. Meanwhile, leaders on the Joint Finance Committee also finalized tax cuts, a key priority for Republicans, by about $1.3 billion for Wisconsinites. Those cuts will apply to retirees and folks in the second lowest tax bracket. Of course, this proposal would need the governor's signature. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Concessions will be available in the Killian Meyer building during Church League softball, with proceeds going towards construction of dugouts at Crosscut Park. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
Brewers in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers begin a three-game series tonight at Wrigley Field against the first-place team, the Chicago Cubs, led by manager Craig Counsell. Although the Brewers were able to slip into second place after beating the Cards 3 out of 4 games, Pat Murphy says there's still room for growth.
We're still young. We're still figuring out. We're not like the Cardinals or the Cubs or the Reds. They got a set kind of 10 or 12 guys they go with. We're still figuring things out. You know, this is a group. They're the right dudes. You know what I mean? And that's why they play to win.
College football, the Badgers excited about 6'1" receiver Zion Legree out of Florida, agreeing to commit to Wisconsin next year. Receivers coach Jordan Reed asked if his guys are anxious to return after going 5-7 last season.
It's a hunger room for that reason alone. Everybody feels they got something to prove. Everybody feels. And really, we're taking it as a room mentality. Like, we got everything to prove this year.
That's the Badgers receivers coach Jordan Reed with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms late this afternoon. Our high 83. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms 64. Tomorrow, thunderstorms with heavy rain, an inch or more possible. Our high tomorrow in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 65.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Pat Kreitlow, back from adventures in Canada, will be joining us to break down the news. Retired Major General Randy Manner will be here as well. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 7:06. Nice to be back in the central time zone here to say it's 7:06, and nice to have you here up north. Not as far north as Saskatchewan, but nice to be back home on this Tuesday morning, June 17th, 2025. Along the way, we've got Lou Anne Bird standing by to talk about holding members of Congress accountable for their support of cutting people's stable and affordable Medicaid health care coverage. That's coming up in just a bit. We'll talk to Dan Hagen from WJFW Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander. We'll be talking to Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser about the latest round of uncertainty caused by President Trump when it comes to mass deportations and workers on farms and, frankly, throughout America's food supply. Then in our next hour, we'll be talking to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. And finally, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and political editor for Civic Media will join us to talk about the state Democratic Convention and a reaction to his column last week about whether Governor Evers should run for a third term. So a lot to cover here this morning, but first let's get to that forecast where it was a stormy one for a lot of folks. Not everybody saw storms yesterday, but the ones that did got some really heavy rains. Let's see what the rest of the week holds before a big hot change for the weekend from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. A little rough last night up northwest. You know, we had a tornado warning just south of Hayward. Trigo, there was a funnel cloud spotted there. And of course, that tornado warning went out into Stone Lake, into the reservation area and stuff. And heavy, heavy rain, like you mentioned. And now finally, we're in the clear. There's some spots of sun, especially south, even far north, mixed in with those clouds right now. Temperatures are at about 60 degrees north, 70 degrees far south, and highs today are climbing. We're talking about near 80 degrees up into the Northwoods and near 90 far southeast today. So it won't be as sticky as yesterday, but still a little bit far south. And that's where more storm chances are going to be popping up today. So northwest Wisconsin, you're in the clear. You've got a few dry days ahead of you. Now the storms are going to be focusing on the southern part of the state. We've got a front that's stalled out there. It's going to hang out there today. It's going to continue to pump more rain, showers, and storms through the area tomorrow, which will become more widespread. But south, you are looking at the flooding potential as we go into tomorrow. So heads up for that. But tonight, after about 6 o'clock, we are looking at those storms starting. They shouldn't last long. They should be done by about 8 or 9. We could see some high winds or hail with those. Otherwise, widespread rain, showers, storms moving in tomorrow, probably midday for the entire evening. Winding down overnight, we could see some flooding, like I said, a good 1 to 2 inches in places.
Yikes. Okay. Yeah. And what's with the shirt today says, Bigfoot stole my curds. What's that about?
It's one of my favorites. Simon's Cheese in Appleton, they sell this shirt, okay. And I just fell in love with it. I had to get it. he's got his little bag of curds and he's walking away through the woods. So
never underestimate the marketing power of a good t-shirt.
Exactly.
It's very true. Let's see, from Robin Tigerton. Good morning. It's cloudy, 69. Last night in the Tigerton area, we had 17 one-hundredths of an inch of rain. I was busy mowing 4 yards in the Wittenberg area. He says, yesterday in Juneau, Alaska, they had their first ever severe thunderstorm warning with 60-mile-an-hour winds. Alaska also had its first ever heat advisory. Can you confirm either one of these things, Brittany?
I cannot confirm just yet, but you know, it is interesting. If a high pressure sets up there, they can get those heat domes. So I wouldn't doubt it. It's possible. Yeah,
I know. I have not checked in with Dr. Kristen Lyerly yet because I know she's up in the Hibbing area and they had some real rough weather and tornado warnings up there yesterday. And Rob goes on to note, with more rain and then the warm weather this weekend, the corn crop will grow big time and he'll be even busier mowing lawns. I don't know when he's going to find time to do yours and mine or Parker's.
I know, right? But he's right. Rain is a good thing. All that growing. Gotta love it.
That's right. I suppose he wants one of those pain gigs. So, all right. Sounds good. Thank you, Brittany. Talk to you more in an hour. We'll probably get into whether you eat all your vegetables, too, because, you know, today is Eat Your Vegetables Day. And now we're getting into definitions of what a vegetable is off air. So stick around for that.
Very interested in that conversation.
I'm very interested in what Luke Mather sent us during the commercial break here. Yeah. But we'll look at channeling that one in an hour or so, because we got to get to Luann Bird, our friend who's helping continue to make people aware of what is in President Trump's big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill, the cuts to Medicaid that are in there, and much more, and the members of Congress from Wisconsin who all supported it and need to hear more about how that would impact people. Luann Bird, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you bet. Nice to see you again. Where, again, you have not lost a step in your public advocacy out here for causes like this, like letting people know, you know, that there's a lot of affordable health care out there that is at risk in this Trump budget. And is it today that you're doing some activities in the first congressional district to let folks know about Congressman Brian Steil and his support for the bill?
We are. We're holding a town hall in Oak Creek at the Oak Creek Community Center, which is on Howell Avenue in Oak Creek, at from 6 to 7:30. And we're hoping to hold him accountable, to talk about what our demands are. And that's what we're doing tonight.
So this is, again, a case where a sitting member of Congress has been invited to a town hall. And again, if this is something you feel strongly about, that this is a budget you support, you kind of figure as a member of Congress, you should be willing to go anywhere, anytime, and talk to people about it. But I have to admit, Luann, I'm not really going to hold my breath that Brian Steil is going to show up tonight for your event.
That's right. That's right. We aren't expecting him. They never respond to my requests. So, but we're going to, what we do is we have people come up to the microphone. We have a replica of Brian Steil standing there. It's kind of cute, and it's white because he ghosts us. And then we're going to record everybody's comments. And today we're moving from just comments to accountability. We want their questions, and we're going to list those questions and then take those to Brian Steil. And we did that last time. There was a group of us that marched right to his office, a couple days later, and we go to the office in down south here in Milwaukee County, and it's in St. Francis. And deliver and gave him comments. We gave him signatures. We gave him note cards, because all of that matters. We have the power. We have the power to change things. We own it and we're changing it. That's our motto. That's our, in this area.
And the thing, Luann, is that it's not just these events that you're organizing, but I mean, you show up at several places. The last place I saw you was having a very earnest conversation with Speaker Robin Voss, for example, about him still being the single obstruction to expanding Medicaid coverage for new moms from 60 days postpartum to 12 months, a very vulnerable time in a woman's life. And why not expand Medicaid overall for that matter? And he at least engaged you in a conversation, which wouldn't happen if you weren't out there willing to say, hey, can I talk to you for a second?
That's right. I showed up at his town halls. No, they were called listening sessions. Yes. So that's what you got to do if you want to have access to people. And within a couple of weeks, I was in front of Ron Johnson as well, because I went to his local event here. And when they walk in the room, I don't sit there. I get up and I go talk to him. And I brought my videographer with that time. So we've got lots of footage of what Robin Voss said about a lot of issues, including guns violence and how they're manipulating the state budget. There's all kinds of things you can do. You just can't sit back. So we have access. We have power. And I'm using it every time I can. You know, we had 1,000 people show up on the corner of Layton and 76 for the No Kings protest in Greenfield. More than 1,000 people. We lined the streets for blocks up and down there. And it just happened to be a day when they closed the highway off. So there was a ton of traffic coming down Layton. And that's what we do. We're taking our power back. And so many people came out for the first time and held those signs up and said, you know, we don't want a king. We want democracy. We're standing up to this regime.
And yet, because of the tragic events in Minnesota last weekend, I feel it's really important to make the distinction that, you know, in the case of the No Kings rally and all the things that you've been doing, that it is possible and it is frankly mandatory to state your point of view and protest with a big crowd, whatever the case may be, but you can do so peacefully. And that is a cornerstone of democracy.
That's right. And I was at the Democratic convention Saturday. So after the No Kings protests, I went to the Dells and there was a big police presence there. And I did not realize why. I didn't realize that some of my colleagues, my friends, I should say, in the Wisconsin state legislature, including our friend Tammy Baldwin, and I was with Mark Pocan Saturday night. I didn't know they were targeted. That shouldn't happen in America, and we should denounce anything like that. You're right. We should be safe, but we also cannot let it stop us. We can't let it stop us. And I'm going to say that the majority, the responses we got when we were standing on that street corner were positive. People are tired of this, and now we just have to find ways to organize and make our views known. And the other thing I did is I went last week, a couple of us went down into a low-income Section 8 housing unit in Kenosha, and we listened to their concerns. And by the way, most of the people in there were actually Trump people. And but by the time we were done, we had built a high level of trust, and we found out that we agree on everything. And I learned what SNAP is. These are the things that are being cut in the budget. You know, these folks get SNAP. You know what that means? $2 a day for food, and we have to cut that? And then they say, well, you can just go to a food pantry. You know what, Pat? They don't have cars. They can't drive. They're poor people. So I learned a lot. We took those questions to Brian Stile, and he actually responded. So,
and I'm glad about that, because I say that as somebody who grew up in Section 8 housing with a mom who did not have a car. And so, you know, racing off to the food pantry wasn't an option, but we were on SNAP benefits.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Again, like so many other, and, you know, she was waitressing the overnight shift, you know, at the time at a truck stop. There are all kinds of hardworking families doing this. And I bring this up because I don't want somebody like a Brian Stile or a Derek Van Orden or whatever to say, well, I'm not holding listening sessions because of all the political violence out there. That's a cop out. That there are plenty of places where you can meet people like Lou Ann Bird and others who can make their point, and you can make their point to them and do so in a civil fashion and maybe change some hearts and minds along the way.
You know what else I did, Pat? I took in order to give you folks that are listening an opportunity to take action, I made a phone booth so that I could make my point. It was a big red phone booth. Took it to the park at Humboldt Park so that people could use their, what I'm calling, superpowers and make phone calls. So it was like a play on Superman. And I had my red cape and my little red mask. And I'm like, come on, you guys, all you got to do is call this number, you know, 202-224-5232, and call Ron Johnson and say, behind me, like, vote no on the budget. Vote no, because we don't, and here's what Ron Johnson always says, we don't want to mortgage our children's future away. This budget's going to increase the debt. It's not cutting spending. It's rearranging the dollars. That's all you got to say.
All right.
Don't go to that, oh, it's bad. It's cutting, you know, benefits and everything. No, it's just vote no.
Luann Bird remains a force. Luann Bird, L-U-A-N-N, Bird, L-U-A-N-N, bird.com to learn more. Luann, thank you so much. Always so great
You're
to
welcome.
See you. All right.
You have too.
A,
thank
have
you.
A great day. A local update is next for some of you. Others will be back as we visit with Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander. And in 15 minutes, we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Hobson Bus is hiring. It's drivers that they need.
Do you remember your school bus driver? The one who got you to school safely? Now it's your turn to make a difference. Join us at Cobison for our open bus hiring event, Thursday, June 26, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Take a seat behind the wheel of a bus and see how easy it really is. Learn about our generous bonus program. Visit Cobison.com for the location near you.
Cobison Bus is hiring. It's the perfect job for me.
This fall, build your perfect Wisconsin football game day with a mini pack. Pick any three games, including Big Ten matchups like Washington, Iowa, and Ohio State, and save while cheering on the Badgers. Big matchups, big moments, and it's all on your schedule. Football mini packs are available now. Create your custom game day experience today at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. First touchdown to the fifth quarter. There's always something to enjoy. Football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Warm weather is finally here, and so is wildfire smoke from Canada. Forecasters say we can expect air quality warnings to come and go and come again with no end in sight as fires blaze out of control across central and western Canada. Environmental advocates say the hazardous smoke blanketing our state just when we want to head outdoors shows no community is safe from the impacts of climate change and should be a wake-up call for policymakers. The EPA is pushing to end its popular Energy Star program that has helped families identify energy-efficient appliances and home energy upgrades for more than 30 years. A group of U.S. senators, including Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, is calling on the EPA to keep the popular program, saying for every dollar spent on Energy Star, Americans get $350 in savings. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
We're here with Lauren Glassbrenner, who is the River Valley District Administrator. I call him Mr. Enthusiasm. How you doing there, Lauren?
Hey there. I'm good. I'm ready to go. It's a beautiful Monday morning. It's a little gray out there, you know. That cloudiness might be good for fishing, right? It might get the fish biting. It might be a good day to get out and do some field work as you see the farmers out there. But when I talked to my brother last week, everybody's got crops in the ground and we got a little moisture, but we sure could use some sunny days to make that corn and alfalfa pop. So yeah, we'd like a couple sunny days, I think, in Wisconsin, but I think we're going to get that Wednesday. Wednesday's weather sure looks good for grass growing and such. So yeah, we're excited. It's a good way to start the summer.
What about graduation? Everything go well at the end of the year for River Valley?
Yeah, everything went just tremendously. And again, a hats off to Derby Blakely, our principal over at River Valley High School, and to his secretary, Lou Kinchy. Many of you know Ms. Luann, and she and Tamika from the front office just run a tight ship, and they had a beautiful graduation day. The weather was perfect. We had many families there, but it was kind of a 100 kids, right? Right on the dot. 100 students graduated from River Valley High School, and we just had a beautiful day, and it was a beautiful selections from band. We had beautiful selections from the choir. We had just great speeches from senior class members, so we just really enjoyed kind of sending those kids off to their next steps, getting them, you know, kind of halfway up the stairway, and they've got a few more steps to go, but we're excited about what they've done for us in River Valley. And in my speech, I just wanted to thank them for all their hard work and leadership. An incredible group of students graduated from River Valley, and I'm excited what they'll do in their next steps as they go forth into the world.
Your sports teams wrapped it up over the weekend. Wesley Hatfield and the soccer team.
Yeah, just a true hats off to Wesley Hatfield. He was at the track meet and he did a great job. He didn't quite make it into the finals, but he was there and he represented us well. And again, we've got an outstanding group of young ladies that had made the regional final in girls soccer, and they fought hard. They lost the game 1-0, but truly a defensive game and an incredible showing this year again in girls soccer. So again, I always try to say, be involved in all those things, whether it's FFA, whether it's choir, whether it's band, whether it's track, whether it's soccer, whatever it is, stay involved as a kid, because those are the things that get you motivated to go to school every day. Sometimes it's not the geometry class, or sometimes it's not, you know, AP calculus that gets us to want to wake up in the morning, but it is being a part of a soccer team or an FFA team or any kind of team at school that really brings kids together. So I love that part of this job. I think we get to celebrate the talents of different ways of kids. And so a hats off again to Wesley, and a hat off to our girls soccer team and their coaches. They did great work here at the end of the season, and now we jump into summer.
When you check your activity schedule, Lauren, it's very interesting because there are things on there that I didn't even know existed. You know, but you have, you know, and it's for the community, not just for the school, but you have pickleball listed.
Yes, yeah.
Other things, you know?
Yeah, the schools are for the community. Our schools are used by different groups throughout the summer. So now we'll have weightlifting starting for a lot of kids and groups. We will have youth baseball. We'll have youth softball. We'll have youth volleyball. We'll have clinics and lessons. We will have pickleball, which is community, people in and out of our buildings. So those gymnasiums and that space, whether it's outdoor or indoor, are great parts of us that we get to be a part of in the community. So the campus is always busy. You know, we're excited because the River Valley campus is kind of still in the middle of town. So there's a lot of activity, even though there's lots going on for us with our staff over the summer. It's a great way for our community to use that resource as well. And, you know, if anybody wants to walk in the morning, a nice, quiet, wonderful, safe walk, our track opens at 6 a.m. every morning. So if you want to come, just walk the track, make some loops, and just get in some morning exercise as that sun comes over the horizon. You're always welcome to be a part of our campus.
Well, the big move is underway, I presume. We've been kind of hitting at it this year during your visits, and school year is done, so I'm guessing it's full speed ahead, isn't it?
It is full speed ahead. So even though the kids left on Friday at 3:15, those buses pulled away, and it was an exciting time, and everybody's honking, and the bus drivers are waving, and the kids are screaming out the windows. The teachers are back today. Today is a staff development day or a workshop day where they're finishing up grades, but they're also in the packing process. So again, as we close out that building up in Plain, the Plain Early Learning Center being vacated for us from students, that brings two more grades down to the River Valley campus. And we're excited about that because everybody will be in a centralized space. So it's going to be efficient, and it allows us to have some savings there for our budget that we are really excited about. But within that, and you guys have heard me talk about it, it's kind of that great migration. 4K and K, meaning 4K kindergarten, as well as 5K kindergarten, have to come down. So that means those six teachers displace six teachers, and those six teachers move into other spaces. So again, on the River Valley campus, we will have three buildings. We will have an elementary school that houses 4K through grade two, and then our middle school is becoming an intermediate school, is what they call it. So it's not quite middle school age kids, but it's kids that are in late elementary and early middle school. So it's going to be called River Valley Intermediate. That will house grades third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. Then the backside of our high school has a nice new wing, and that's going to become our junior high. So seventh and eighth graders will have a specialized space back there, a very secluded space, a safe place for parents and families and kids out there. So that'll take over a wing in the back of our high school. So that'll be River Valley Junior High. And then that displaces some people that go into different spaces at the high school. So all in all, if you think about it in kind of chunks of a pie, about 75% of our kids and teachers are packing it up and moving around. And so out of the 100 classrooms, 25 get to kind of hold tight. The other ones will have to pack everything, put it in a box, We will coordinate that getting out of a room, that room getting cleaned, and then new stuff coming into that room. And that really starts this week. We have the rooms where people are not moving getting cleaned really this week. And then from that point forward, it's the magical migration of everybody moving around the campus at the River Valley campus, I guess, right there in Spring Green. So we're excited about it. It's going to be a great time for opportunities, but it's a lot of work, you know, and a total shout out to Brian Cry and to a team of workers that are going to be on a maintenance crew this summer. There's going to be an incredible movement, and it's all orchestrated on paper. So hopefully, fingers crossed, good weather.
We'll see how well rested you are in July when you
come
back.
I'll do my best, Phil. Thank you so much, sir.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Some big budget cuts potentially on the horizon for families that face food insecurity and, in turn, the farmers that try to help them. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. Details on potential cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. That's next.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
It is estimated that in Wisconsin, some 618,000 people face food insecurity every day, not knowing where their next meal will come from. Now, potential cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program could mean another 700,000 people will be impacted. Jackie Anderson is executive director of Feeding Wisconsin, and she said a lot of those people impacted, kids.
I was talking to someone at Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin the other day, and he said that the spike in childhood hunger since 2021 is the biggest since the Great Recession, which means that over the past couple of years, the need in childhood hunger has absolutely increased. And so that means that then our food pantries, again, are having to augment that. So one of the food partners that they work with in Fond du Lac actually reached out to Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin and said that already she's seeing that the school program that they offer is almost too popular and is in danger of not being sustainable.
Jackie Anderson, she's the executive director of Feeding Wisconsin. She said right now the Senate is proposing an additional $211 billion reduction in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program operating funds. She said that not only hurts the families and children that depend on it, it also makes it difficult to use the funds available to buy locally. And that impacts local growers.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empower Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
And today, the Midwest Farm Report team's headed to Bear Creek for a preview on this year's Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Follow us, Midwest Farm Report, on social media, and we'll share the details. I'm Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms late this afternoon. Our high 83. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms 64. Tomorrow, thunderstorms with heavy rain, an inch or more possible. Our high tomorrow in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 68.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support.
the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins me for some movie talk. And then Milwaukee Journal Sentinel music writer Piet Levy joins me to talk Summerfest. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Up North News now has newsletters 7 days a week, our regular Monday through Friday, which is a mix of Wisconsin features and news. We have a new sports newsletter on Saturdays, all about the good stories and good people behind Wisconsin sports. And then on politics, the guy that does that show, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, you know him? He does a newsletter now called Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, all about Wisconsin politics. You can subscribe at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. It always includes a question of the week, which this week is whether Governor Tony Evers should run for a third term. We'll talk to Dan Schaefer about that 1 hour from now here on the program. But Hans Breitenmoser was at the state Democratic convention, and I'm guessing it may have been a conversation there. We'll get into that, and we'll get into the conversation we were just having with Dan Hagen about the Pinecrest Nursing Home and whether counties should continue to operate their nursing homes or sell them off to the private sector. And then there's that whole thing with Hans being a farmer, like, you know, trying to get into the field where it keeps raining and things like that. So we got a lot to cover in the next few minutes. Hans, how are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. We were saying before about, you know, you have to time out your lawn mowing just right with all these waves of rain. Are you getting much in for field work?
Well, we got our first crop done before all the rains came, and that was done in good order. And yields were not spectacular on some of the grassier stands because we had such strangely cold weather. But we got it all done before it rained, so we're happy about that. And the corn is growing, the beans are growing, the second crop is growing. So we could use a few sunny days, but I guess that's better than drought, so we'll take it.
I guess so, yep. The latest USDA crop progress report for Wisconsin says first cutting of alfalfa hay was 79% complete 2 days ahead of last year. The all hay condition was rated 78% good to excellent. That's down 3 points from the week before. Corn planting is nearly complete. Other soybeans planting is nearing completion as well. So that's a quick update on what's happening on the farms all around Wisconsin. But some of those farmers, yourself included, do some work off the farm, which might include public service. And for quite a time, you were on the Lincoln County Board. And so as we continue that conversation about counties and being, you know, operators of nursing homes, you know about the Pinecrest issue up there. That's something pretty near and dear to your time of service on the county board.
I was on the county board for 10 years, and I've been off the county board for a couple of years now. But it is the case that, during my time on the county board, we managed to keep the doors open of our county-owned nursing home. And ever since this current crop of board members came on, they've just been hell-bent on selling our nursing home. And it's really unfortunate because it is a 5-star facility. It's been doing well. It's in the black. There's no financial reasons to get rid of it. There's just really absolutely no reason to sell this nursing home. But I really feel like it was this sort of ideological bent of the current majority of the current county board supervisors who came in and said that government just shouldn't be involved in anything. And we're going to whittle it down. This is the same county board who got rid of UW Extension in our county. And we had a fight like hell to keep 4-H. They got rid of, you know, just basically anything that's not mandated by the state is what they want to get rid of. And it just doesn't make any sense, because while this proposed owner of this, you know, the nursing home, you know, they own 340 other properties, and perhaps they're quite good at it. But the reality is, if your grandma's in a nursing home and they own 340 facilities like that, I'm here to tell you she's going to be a number on a spreadsheet. She's not going to get the same level of care that she would in a county-owned facility, and that's proven by facts. I mean, there's plenty of evidence out there that suggests that the publicly owned nursing homes provide a higher level of care than the private ones. And it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out why. It's because the private ones are there to make a profit, and there's no shame in that. But bottom line is, there's 4% that's got to go out the door to make sure that the operation is profitable. We don't have that motive here at the county level.
Yeah, it comes back to that whole notion of, look, these are folks who have been taxpayers in the county. They've been citizens in the county for all of this time. And should some of those taxes go toward this kind of care? We don't weigh the benefits on other essential services like, you know, the roads and things like that. And just because the private sector does something does not necessarily mean it's the only option that needs to be available. You're really making it sound, and I'm not surprised, that this is so much more about political ideology than it is about, you know, community service.
It's totally about that. And it's unfortunate, because I think a lot of that political ideology has come from the, you know, from big business who've, you know, set their eyes on things like nursing homes and prisons and schools and said, there's money to be made here. And so we need to convince people out in the hinterlands that, you know, the government is incapable of doing anything right, and the private sector does everything splendidly. And then that ideology seeps in, and here we are. But it's not, there's no basis in fact. And I think it's a county board's job, or any local government's job, to look at the facts that they have on the ground, see how their situation is going, and also listen to their constituents, by God. Because, you know, I know here in Lincoln County, there's just been a huge outcry about this. There's very, very few people that are in favor of this change to a privatized nursing home, and the county board flat out refused to do a referendum question or have any public input taken seriously. Private, you know, so many closed door meetings and so forth, and it's just really unfortunate how this whole thing has gone down. And so I'll be at the county board meeting tonight, you know, giving my two cents from a different podium than I used to have.
We're talking to Hans Breitenmoser, former member of the Lincoln County Board here, and a dairy farmer as well. And so let's get into that other farm-related topic, which was somewhat surprising on Thursday when President Donald Trump put up on his tiny social media site something about, you know, how his mass deportations, maybe it hasn't been great to be doing mass deportations in the hotel and hospitality businesses. And so he has been instructing ICE and others to kind of let off the gas for hotels and hospitality, and basically come down even harder in, you know, in those big bad blue cities, because apparently, you know, work there is different than work out in the country. It really, I don't know, Hans, what do you think motivated it? Does he really mean it? Is it going to change anything?
I'm sure I don't know, Pat, because I think if we know anything about this administration, they have the capacity to flip and flop quite frequently and regularly for no real good reasons or anything that can be explained with any kind of common sense whatsoever. It's clear that this administration is perfectly capable of doing things that are absolutely politically motivated, and so if all sorts of, you know, blue areas, urban areas are in the crosshairs That doesn't surprise me more, you know. So is this going to be, are we going to feel less pressure here out in the countryside and in agriculture with regard to undocumented folks who work for us? It's difficult to say because things do change quickly. But I think some of the going after blue areas more than red areas, I think that is by design. I also think that some organizations like the American Business Immigration Coalition has done a really good job in lobbying the administration and lobbying our lawmakers, both Republican and Democrat, on how important foreign-born employees are to agriculture. And hopefully that's starting to sink in because they are. And hopefully we can get over this notion that everybody who's come from another place is somehow some raging criminal and they're up here just so busy, you know, committing crimes that they're not going to work.
Well, you'd certainly think so based on Trump's post, where after talking about change would be coming, he said in a post on Sunday, "We need to focus on our crime-ridden and deadly inner cities and those places where sanctuary cities play such a big role. You don't hear about sanctuary cities in our heartland." Well, actually, last week or so, there were at least a couple of rural sheriffs that were passing emails back and forth about not necessarily cooperating any further with ICE, seeing how things were being handled. And really, Hans, I mean, it's about going after brown people first and foremost. It's just that now instead of going after brown people in red areas, it's going after brown people in blue areas, which, again, our politics is overly simplistic based on colors, team red, team blue. Yes. But in Trump's case, he's like, well, as long as we're going after, you know, the brown people in the blue areas, the white people in the red areas who need the brown people to make money are going to be okay. I think that sums up Donald Trump in a nutshell, maybe.
Well, I think you're right. Unfortunately, I think that's kind of where we're at. And obviously, all these things are more complicated than we'd like them to be. But that's reality. That's what it means to be a grown up. Things are complicated sometimes. And what I can say is that the dairy industry falls completely apart in the state of Wisconsin without foreign-born employees. We need a mechanism by which we can have people from other countries coming in and doing jobs in this country. Otherwise, the economy just doesn't work. Any economist worth their salt will tell you that. This isn't economics needing a PhD. This is simple math. And so, you know, anybody that can't see past the idea that we're simply demonizing a group of people and scapegoating them for any problems that we might have, they're simply kidding themselves. And I'm willing to forgive people for that, but I have a hard time forgiving policymakers for that, because by God, they should know better.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, my response to that is, when it comes to racial politics and Donald Trump and the MAGA wing, sometimes things really are as simple as they might seem. But that's my whole two cents on it. I got just over a minute left and wanted to ask you just in general about June Dairy Month. There have been activities that are going on. We've spoken at length about it. And I always worry that as the years go by and as more of these factory farms come in and people start taking things for granted, do you still feel like all these June Dairy Month activities, they make a dent, they help folks around Wisconsin appreciate what's going on, or are you more concerned that maybe it's not, you know, what it used to be?
Well, I don't think it's what it's used to be, but I mean, it's hard not to be nostalgic for the days when there were 13 dairy farms on my road, and now there's only three of us left. That the dairy industry has changed a great deal, but I do feel like the June Dairy events are well received and well attended, and they go to some very nice farms, some large and some small, and it does help the public appreciate, you know, what the dairy industry contributes to the state economy, and helps educate non-farmers on what happens on real farms. And getting back to the earlier conversation, I hope that as we go forward, the more part of that conversation is the fact that there's brown people that work on those farms as well.
Exactly. Hans Breitenmoser from Lincoln County, thank you very much. Have a great day. We'll talk to you a little later.
You bet. Be good, Pat. Thank you.
All right. You bet. A local update is next for some of you. For the rest of you hanging around here, we'll talk about Western Wisconsin happenings and more. And in our 8 o'clock hour, Dan Schaefer and Chad Holmes, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Matt Nair on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Yeah, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
We're talking about the Wizards of Rods annual fun run car, truck, motorcycle show going on this very weekend, Father's Day weekend. Joining us in the studio is Terry Filia. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
Good to have you in here. It seems like you were just in here. And it's been a year.
Mm-hmm. Already.
Awesome. Tell me about this year's Wizards of Rods and what makes it special.
Well, we are at our fourth year at the Log Cabin Grounds and Grand Theft Grounds in Warrens, Wisconsin, and it's our 44th. Not too many clubs can say they've had that many shows. And yesterday we all got together and put together 200 goodie bags to be given out at our show. When people register, they will get a goodie bag, and it's stuffed with flyers of other shows, advertising from some of our sponsors and other folks, and they're probably one of the things that a lot of clubs don't do anymore is pass out goodie bags. We also have homemade trophies that are going to be available. 27 trophies that we made this year for the members pick out their top 25, and then we have pre and post 1947, I think it is, 46, 47. And then people make homemade trophies, like for most bugs, or I made one for, what was the name of that? Best Ford, because I drive a Ford.
So you mentioned 44 years. In fact, we have on the line with us today Tom Venipal, who is a charter member. Good morning, Tom. Are you there?
I am here.
Yeah, there he is. All right. So 44 years. Does it seem possible you've been around the club that long?
Well, it seems like every year goes a little faster. But other than that, I can't put words into, you know, what year was this? What year was that? I'm getting more feeble-minded as I go.
So many have come and gone during the time where you've had this going on at in Warren's. Why do you think this has lasted so long, Tom?
Well, we're rather unique. For one thing, it used to be a joke that you needed to have facial hair just to be a wizard. And I think all of us are old and wizard-like, so, but we do a lot of unique things. We do those top 25, which are, you know, what happened way back at our 10th. We tried to go with all homemade, and it was like the people that wanted the bought and trophies were left out, and it didn't go over so well. So ever since then, we've been doing a combination, and from our 10th, we added one every year for 11th, 12th, 13th. We'd make that many top trophies. Once we got to 25, we said, oh, it's getting a lot harder to find sponsors. Let's cut it off at 25. So we do a lot of unique things. We give a lot to charity. I'll bet you we have given well over $75,000 over the years to charities. And some of those charities are St. Jude's Hospital, the local canine unit, Alzheimer's Association, Toys for Tots, American Cancer Society, all kinds of things like that. Plus, we give out it depends on how many we get for applicants, one or two automotive scholarships every year. We also collect pop-tops for the Ronald McDonald House. 2 years ago, we gave, I think it was $2,800 plus 12 full 55-gallon barrels of pop-tops. And last year, we had over 650 pounds. So, you know, it goes right to the people that need it. So we're kind of unique that way. We're one of the few that, like Terry had said, offer goodie bags. And somebody said, well, you don't have much this year. If you look at what we had yesterday to stuff, you'd say, holy cow, that's going to make an awful nice goodie bag. I think the somewhere around 10 pounds. I mean, that's a lot of stuff. So
yeah, that really is.
Yeah, we do a lot of things like that. Yeah, I've been around for a couple of years.
but it's fun, Tom, you've been able to use, you know, this is a hobby of yours, but you've been able to turn that into a good thing that gives back. That's got to be rewarding.
Right. When we first started, you know, there was, I think, five guys in the garage and says, well, let's start a car club. And over the years, we have developed, and we're always evolving. We have a piece of highway that we pick up with our name out there all the time. We just do a lot of, we're charitable people, and it's been a very rewarding life for me because I'm the only one that stuck with it.
Do you have the first car that you ever drove there?
I have the first vehicle that I ever put on the road for the show. Okay. I don't have my first car. I kind of wish I did. It was a 64 Chevy. You can't go to a dealer and buy a 8-year-old car for $315 anymore, I'll tell you that.
I don't think so.
So I wish I'd have kept that car. But other than that, I've got, I think I insure about 14, so.
That's all, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the insurance companies, they look at me and, we can't figure this out. Well, I'll tell you.
Do you take them all to the Wizards of Rod's show then?
No, I will be driving my 60. I purchased in 1978 a 1960 Chevy two-door sedan that I have been, over the years, customizing. It's a it's got a 60 Cadillac grill in it. It's got a Continental kit. It's got Mercury Turnpike Cruiser skirts on it.
The Wizards of Rod's 44th Annual Fun Run Car, Truck, and Motorcycle Show this Father's Day weekend.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henry.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Trump's back in Washington because of the Iran-Israel attacks, having left the G7 summit in Canada earlier than expected. And so did ABC's Mary Bruce traveling with him.
Trump telling reporters there on Air Force One that he decided to race back to the White House so that he could, quote, be a little more well-versed and not have to rely on phones as he navigates this crisis.
In Tel Aviv, ABC's Ian Pannell.
A mass exodus from the Iranian capital following warnings from President Trump and Israel. Huge lines of cars, bumper to bumper on the road out of Tehran.
One of the worst Russian air attacks on Ukraine's capital happened overnight. Drones and missiles killing at least 14, say Ukrainian officials. Makers of many things to eat, including cream cheese, Jell-O, Kool-Aid, and Lunchables, the Kraft Heinz Company announcing it will not launch any new products in the U.S. with artificial colors effective immediately. The company says it's already removed the coloring from 90% of its products.